Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review on this Monday, June 27th, 2011. As I discuss the world of sports, I'll be taking you a course for the next 45 minutes. As we discuss the world of sports and entertainment, as always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can always follow me at twitter.com/WilliamGerald or hit me up at facebook.com/CyrilQuinn. A lot to do, a lot to talk about on this busy Monday. Also, for my Blog Talk audience, I am on the chat line as we speak, so in between breaks, you can certainly hit me up anytime on the chat line. I'll get the questions, comments that you may have. The question of the day is, what did you think about the BET Awards? We'll talk about that in about 15 minutes or so. But we begin in L.A. with the McCourts, as the McCourts turn, as the Dodgers turn, as this never-ending saga just won't die. Frank McCourt and the Los Angeles Dodgers, of course, filed a bankruptcy, Chapter 11. He's hoping that in a Delaware court, which approved the bankruptcy. He's hoping that a judge gives him at least $150 million worth of interim financing so that he can pay off some of the creditors that include the likes of Manny Ramirez, Andrew Jones, Juan Pierre, Marquise Grissom, Vin Scully. Dodgers are going to make payroll. They're going to make their payroll for the month, for this particular period, which was due on June 30th, the deadline was on is Wednesday. But this is McCourt just, I think he's trying to tweak Major League Baseball and Bud Selig. I think he's trying to stick it to Bud Selig, trying to annoy him. He has no chance of winning this or coming out. It's a matter of not if, but when Major League Baseball takes over the Dodgers and McCourt is out as owner. Again, McCourt is hoping on a whim that a judge in his right mind approves McCourt $150 million. When we've seen, and I'm sure that judge has seen how McCourt has spent his money. The reason why the Dodgers are in this situation right now. So by some miracle, the judge does approve McCourt the $150 million in interim financing, that would give McCourt 180 days to negotiate a new TV television deal. That's if those same courts overrule Major League Baseball, Bud Selig will look to terminate Frank McCourt's standing as the owner of the Los Angeles Dodgers. But, the only reason why Selig isn't making that move right now is, why shoot a dead horse? I mean, Selig knows that it's unlikely that a judge is going to approve McCourt that money. So he says, hey, I'm not going to play this card right now. If by some miracle, if the judge does approve McCourt the money, then you will see Selig and Major League Baseball play that card and terminate the ownership, my friend McCourt's ownership of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Again, to me, this thing has only one ending, and that is Frank McCourt not being the owner of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, what happens to the Dodgers after that? Who knows? Does Major League Baseball take over? Does Major League Baseball find another owner? Where does Mark Cuban play into this? Does this bring Mark Cuban into the mix? We'll see. But there's no way in the world that any judge is going to give Frank McCourt $150 million of financing. It's just not going to happen. So we'll see how this plays out over the course of the next couple of days, the next few weeks. The Williams sisters are gone from the Wimbledon. They both were taken out today in straight sets. Serena's match was a little bit tougher against against Bartoli. Venus got smoked in straight sets. I mean, it wasn't even that match wasn't even competitive. First time, you know, since 2008, only the third time that they've both been eliminated at a Grand Slam before the quarterfinals. First time they've been eliminated on the same day. That does not happen that often. And, you know, it begs the question is, you know, Venus is finished as far as I'm concerned in terms of being a Grand Slam winner. Venus Williams will never win another Grand Slam. There's nothing wrong with that. She's, you know, she's had a Hall of Fame career, won 5 Wimbledons, and, you know, she's had a tremendous career. The question I would beg to ask is Serena, is how much gas in the tank does Serena have left? You know, does she have the kind of motivation that's going to take to recover from that injury? She's been going she missed a year. Her conditioning and her timing could not have been there. Tennis is the ultimate sport of conditioning. I mean, you can't miss that amount of time and come back and win and expect to play at a Grand Slam level, let alone win Wimbledon. It just wasn't going to happen. And this is a weak women's field. Make no mistake about it. There's no dominant or great player playing women's tennis right now. But regardless of that, there's still enough young, talented players to take advantage of Serena's, just lack of endurance. I mean, she doesn't, you know, right now, she doesn't have any legs. So it's going to be interesting to see where she goes from here. She has plenty of money. We know both of them are actually loaded. They can, you know, quit right now and never have to work a day in their lives. But, you know, if you're Serena, where does the motivation come from here on out? You've accomplished everything that you could possibly accomplish in the sport, won every major, ton of money. It could be a different type of summer for Serena going into the U.S. Open. We will see what happens. Moving forward. Terrell Owens had surgery to repair a torn ACL. This injury remains a mystery in terms of how it occurred. He is right now shooting a television show on VH1, not the T.O. show, which I don't know if that got canceled. I've been waiting for that show to come back. It's a funny show. But I'm assuming that show is not going to be, you know, they're finished with that show. They're shooting another one. He's shooting another one called Single Ladies now, which he could have injured the knee on, or, you know, there are reports that he might have injured it during a private workout. So, I mean, who knows? The bottom line is he's going to be out. If the season starts on time, he's going to be out at least until October, late October, early November. Will a team be willing to put up not only with his, you know, antics, you know, on the field, but now, you know, you're coming in with a 37-year-old receiver with a shaky knee. Again, the guy, you know, he's a physical specimen. He's shown that he can recover, he can recover quickly. You saw that in the 2004 season when he had the ankle injury and played with the broken leg, came back for the Super Bowl and played great. But again, that was now going on, you know, that was 7 years ago. He was 30, you know, he was 7 years younger. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if anybody takes a chance on Terrell Owens. When the season does start in September, if and when the season does start. Just getting started here on this latest edition of Cyril Quinn Review. Again, a lot to do on this busy Monday. On the other side, we'll talk about a legend that was lost by the broadcasting world, losing a legend, and also sour grapes in California. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Silver Queen Review. 10 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour. 347-215-6180 is your call number. As we discuss the world of sports and entertainment. A program note for next week. We won't be able to do a program. Of course, we're going to do a program tomorrow. I want to talk. Definitely want to talk about the upcoming Beyonce album, which comes out tomorrow. But we'll talk about it next week, either Monday or Tuesday. So we'll talk about that, and also talk about Coldplay, so we'll be coming out with an album as well. So we could have a big week next week as far as CD reviews goes. Nick Charles passed away this past weekend. Well, not this past weekend. I want to say last Friday. Charles was just a broadcasting icon that started out. You know, he's a guy who started out bouncing around different various stations before he got his big break in 1980 with CNN. First sportscaster in CNN. His CNN's history. Teamed up with Fred Hickman. For 17 years doing Sports Tonight, they always went toe-to-toe with ESPN, even beat out ESPN Sports Center at times during those battles in the 90s, and over the course of the 80s and 90s. You know, you see a lot of guys nowadays come along on the mothership, ESPN, and they try to become, instead of reporting the story, they try to become the story. And that's something that's just, you know, it's an unfortunate part of journalism nowadays, but there is an entertainment aspect that these guys are trying to reach in terms of ratings, things of that nature, but it's gotten out of control. I mean, it's going just to a level to where it will never come back. That's just the way it is. Nick Charles was one of the guys who, you know, could be entertaining, but also report the story. He was a pure journalist. He was a great interviewer. Again, he made Fred Hickman look good. Okay, so I mean, those two again, they had a great show, and he was a guy who, again, this guy started out, you know, was driving a cab. Okay, this tells you a little bit about him. So he was driving a cab in order to help pay his tuition. You know, he was one of the pioneers in sports broadcasting. You know, in this whole ESPN era, you know, this guy, you know, to me, stood apart, set himself apart by not getting to that. You know, it's all about me. No, it's about the story. It's about reporting, reporting the story, and leaving it at that. So again, he passed away at the age of 64. He from bladder cancer. He'd been fighting that for about 2 years now. Again, was a boxing aficionado, loved boxing, did a ton of fights, worked with Showtime, and it's late after, you know, after he moved on from CNN in 2001, and again, will be sorely missed from a broadcasting standpoint, without questioning. You also had this weekend, the U.S. men's soccer team lose to Mexico, which is not a shock. But they were up 2-0, end up losing 4-0, and Tim Howard, the U.S. goalie, basically goes crazy in the to the media. He was not happy about the ceremony, their ceremony at the end being basically in Spanish, not in all Spanish, but the majority of the ceremony was in Spanish. Mind you, there are 93,000 people at the Rose Bowl, and I get about probably 75,000. We're cheering for Mexico. So, you know, keep that in mind. Keep also in mind that Mexico did win it, did, you know, beat the USA. And to me, this is sour grapes. I mean, would Howard be making these comments if the USA had won that game? And Howard is the guy who gave up 4 goals, which in soccer is like giving up, you know, 50 points in a football game. I mean, you see a lot of games that have 1-0, 2-1. Nobody scores that many goals in soccer. This doesn't happen. You know, so he blows a 2-0 lead, and then he, you know, of course, goes and blames, you know, the officials at the Gold Cup for not having the ceremony and not having enough English in the ceremony. know, the best thing for Tim Howard to do in that situation is just, I mean, just take your loss and keep it moving. You magnify the fact that you gave up four goals when you draw attention upon yourself and calling out and doing something like that and saying something like that. And again, you look like a sore loser. Still to come on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, we'll talk about the BET Awards, the hits and misses, what I liked, what I didn't like, plenty to chew on there. We'll also get into entertainment headlines of the day and also some the weekend that was in baseball. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, 16 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour. We will return. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. 347-215-6180 is the call number. As we discuss the world of sports and entertainment, of course, last night you had the BET Awards for the for this 11th show that they've done. And, you know, overall, I thought the show was decent. They've done better shows. They've also done worse shows. So, you know, I thought it was okay. You know, I thought Kevin Hart did a good job as the host. Funny, you know, the whole bit about the Hollywood husbands was funny. You know, he's getting all people in the beginning of the show, talking about Busta Rhymes' vest and calling out different stars. That was funny, calling out Puffy, you know, all his different nicknames and what have you. So I thought he carried the show, did a good job of carrying the show. The problem with the BET was, number one, it ran entirely too long. I mean, you know, it went to 11:30. It went to 11:30, supposed to end at 11 o'clock. I'm sure a lot of people were done after probably 10:30, 11 o'clock. They didn't even make it to 11 o'clock, considering that, you know, there are people that have to get up and go to work the following morning. And, you know, how many times did I have to watch Rick Ross, Lil Wayne, Chris Brown perform? And I like two of them. You know, I'm not a Chris Brown fan at all, for obvious reasons. But Rick Ross, Lil Wayne, I like both of them. Got multiple albums from those two. But again, I mean, you had enough acts to spread out to not have those guys performing, you know, a million times. Of course, I mean, the headline was, you know, Rihanna, Chris Brown, their whole ordeal in regards to the announcement of Video of the Year. They have a winner. They had a contestant who won, you know, who won the right to announce Video of the Year standing up. It was like a girl who could have been anywhere from, you know, 18 to 21, 18 to 22, young girl. Standing up there, she's excited, naturally, of course, and, you know, she has a mini iPad or whatever that they, you know, they want to kind of switch it up from a standard envelope. In this case, they probably would have been better off going with the standard envelope, as, you know, the girl called every name. She called every name except with the exception of, you know, Nas. I mean, she calls Drake, she calls Chris Brown, she calls Rihanna. Drake comes out, accepts the award for Rihanna, who wasn't there, and that wasn't a coincidence. I'll get to that soon. And then it turns out that yes, that Chris Brown indeed did win the award for best for video of the year. That kind of stuff just can't happen. I mean, if you want anybody to take you serious as an award ceremony, you can't. How do you mess that up? It's the biggest award of the year, of the whole program, video of the year. You know, it's one thing to mess up an award that, you know, doesn't get announced. Like if they would have said, you know, LeBron James is the athlete of the year. Oh, no, it turns out it was Michael Vick. Man, that's one thing. Nobody cares about that. But this is your main award. I mean, can you imagine the Academy Award, the Oscars, saying that the winner is Denzel Washington for Training Day? Then after it was, it was Russell Crowe for Beautiful Mind. Denzel, sorry, brother. Got to get that Oscar back. Of course, that would never happen. But it only happens at the BET Awards. It doesn't happen at any other awards. That does not happen. I've been watching awards ceremonies and forever. You know, MTV, American Music, and watching, you know, Grammys. That kind of thing has never happened. But, you know, I guess it's the first time for everything. A couple of things that annoy me. CeeLo. What the hell was CeeLo doing with the Patti LaBelle tribute? Matter of fact, I don't even blame CeeLo. How about the producers who put CeeLo in that position? You can't have CeeLo doing a tribute for Patti LaBelle. CeeLo? I mean, that's insane to let CeeLo do. Have all women, first of all. And I know CeeLo is just like, oh my goodness, they actually gonna let me do this? Oh, and CeeLo probably just, you know, doing the cartwheel. And you can't. I mean, Marsha Ambrosia did her thing. Shirley Caesar certainly, you know, didn't embarrass herself. And you got Mary J. Blige. Yeah, it's like you had other options. It's like you had no options. CeeLo. So they kind of dropped the ball on that. You certainly like the Steve Harvey. Not sure a tribute to the guy getting a humanitarian award. You know, seeing what he's done with you know, the 100 black men, that whole thing. That was a positive. The performances overall were decent. I mean, Alicia Keys' performance wasn't nothing to go crazy about. Even Mary J. Blige's performance at the beginning was okay. I've seen Mary J. Blige better at shows, not in person, but at different award shows. So it was average. It was an okay show. Again, no Rihanna, no Jay-Z, no Beyonce, no Kanye West. That wasn't by coincidence. You know, who was there, who was not there. I mean, Beyonce is, you know, over across the pond, basically. I believe she was in London. But, you know, they certainly could do a better job. I wouldn't mind Kevin Hart coming back next year as a host. I think he's earned another shot at being a second chance of being a host again. So we definitely wouldn't mind that. Still to come on this last edition of the review, we'll have celebrity headlines. Columbo says goodbye. And Superman has another star added to the cast. We'll talk about that. Also, Eminem's new controversial video. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Serial Coon Review. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 25 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Serial Queen Review, 26 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour. Peter Falk passed away at the age of 83. Of course, you know, Falk was a famed stage actor, but everybody knows him for one of the most creative, one of the most memorable television characters of all time as Lieutenant Columbo. He played that role from 71 to 2003 between NBC and ABC. I'm a big fan of mystery and suspense thrillers, movies and movie and television alike. Columbo was the one that got me into mysteries. I mean, you know, did you see this bumbling detective with the dirty trench coat that, again, looked like had been, you know, looked like somebody had stepped on it. And you see him just with the kind of like the all shucks and just doesn't look like he has a clue. Next thing you know, he's solving these crazy mysteries. One of the more famous episodes, I thought, was the one where he was almost at a loss. Duke, if you remember, anybody goes back to General Hospital and remembers Duke. I forgot the actor's name who played the original Duke. He played a guest criminal on there. The episode was called Columbo Cries Wolf. That was one of the best ones I ever saw. And, you know, Columbo, of course, solves a murder. But Duke had him running in circles, basically. You never saw Columbo that shook in terms of trying to solve this mystery. So that was one of the episodes that I remember. Something that I did not know when I was reading about Falk and Columbo is that the first episode that he made debuted in 1971, and who was the director of that episode? None other than Steven Spielberg, a 25-year-old Steven Spielberg. So, again, that shows you, Spielberg got started out very early in his career, but made Jaws at the age of 28, and directed that first episode of Columbo with Peter Falk. Now, again, Columbo came out in 68. They had it for 3 years before Falk came on, and again took it to an iconic level with what he did with the role. So he passes away at the age of 83. Christopher Maloney, who formerly starred on Law and Order SUV, will join the star-studded cast of Superman, Man of Steel. He joins a cast of your scenery of thousands. I mean, you have Kevin Costner, Russell Crowe, Diane Lane, Amy Adams, so Henry Cavill, who will play Superman. So Maloney joins that cast. Superman, Man of Steel will come out in 2012. Maloney, again, had been with Law and Order SUV for over 12 years before leaving due to some contract issues that he had with the show. Isn't that always the case with these actors? Has anybody seen Eminem's new video? I would recommend checking it out. Eminem has a new video called Spacebound. At the end of the video, Eminem, in an alternate ending, now there was two endings to this video, but one of the endings, he had Eminem basically killing himself, shooting himself through the throat. It's something that, you know, wouldn't have been even allowed like 10, 15 years ago on television. Nowadays, it's anything goes, but now, I'm wondering if you're Eminem and you understand the kind of influence you have being, you know, as biggest rap star as he is. And again, Eminem, love or hate him, he's one of the, you know, biggest rap stars in the world and has been for a long time now over the past decade or so. I mean, is that the way you really want to go? I mean, I know Eminem is a guy who, you know, lives on the edge as far as what he does in videos. You remember what he did with Stan, Clean Out My Closet. He does controversial songs, controversial videos. You remember, you know, Without Me when he's playing Bin Laden and things like that, Elvis. But this one might have been extra. I mean, this one might have been a little bit over the top to where you just sit back and if you Eminem, you say, hey, whoa, maybe I should rethink this one. You know, because God forbid, you know, a 15, 16 year old, 16, 17 year old out there, you know, saying, oh, I want to be, let me be, you know, let me try to be Eminem and, you know, messing around with a gun and, you know. And who knows? I mean, kids and teenagers are followers. They worship these guys, these stars, you know, from head to toe. It's just one of the things that I thought, you know, that Eminem should have rethink doing. I know it's nothing new. I mean, you saw Jay-Z a few years back with 99 Problems, and he's getting shot, and that's supposed to signify the death, his retirement of music. So, I mean, you know, anything to draw ratings or draw any more attention to drive up record sales. That's what this is all about. But Eminem, somebody of Eminem's caliber doesn't even need to draw any more attention to himself. I mean, this album has already gone platinum. It's already sold, I think, like 4 million copies. So he doesn't even need to go in that direction. Still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday morning, you know I do it all the time, of the Serial Killer Review. We'll look back at the weekend that was in baseball, A couple of a great weekend. If you're a Nationals fan, we'll talk about that and much, much more in this latest edition of the Saturday of the Serial Killer Review. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Serial Killer Review. As always, 347-215-6180 is your call number. 35 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour. Of course, baseball, you had another round of interleague play. This week will mark the last week of interleague play as they'll get back to things will get back to normal come this time next week. You saw Detroit take 2 out of 3 from Arizona, and that certainly was headlined by another just masterful performance by Justin Verlander, who is pitching better than anyone in baseball right now. I mean, the guy over his last 6 starts is undefeated, and right now, you know, is tied for the Major League in wins, has 10 wins, 10-3, and every time he steps out on the field right now, you feel that he can throw a no hitter. And that's how dominant he's been. You see him, you know, you see him go the distance and have his last pitch, but his last pitch at 100 miles an hour. And this guy right now is just pitching on another level. And he's certainly been one of the main reasons why Detroit is back in first place in the AL Central as they have gone by the Cleveland Indians. Good weekend for Pittsburgh as they take 2 out of 3 from the Boston Red Sox. Though the Red Sox yesterday won 4-2, they were able to avoid a sweep by the Pirates. Pirates had some great crowds over the weekend. I mean, they sold out all 3 nights against Boston. That's what Boston Red Sox do. I mean, their fans travel, and they're gonna draw big crowds. But Pittsburgh really helped Boston's offense in check. Even yesterday, I mean, Boston gets 4 runs. Boston came in to that series, number one offense in baseball, but the Pittsburgh pitching was able to really hold them down over the course of the weekend. Yankees take 2 out of 3 from Minnesota, but the big story certainly was yesterday the Old Timers Day, and Joe Torre, former Yankee manager, his return to Yankee Stadium has been the first time, you know, that since last year that he had came back, the only reason he came back was because they were honoring George Steinbrenner, in his passing. So I mean, Torrey comes back, got the round of applause that he so well deserves. Of course, there had been a lot of animosity between he and the Yankee organization. They did not treat him well on his way out. In terms of 2007, George Steinbrenner, of course, gave him an ultimatum, disrespecting him with a contract offer of $5 million with incentives. When you talk about a guy who had won four championships, and Torrey walked away from it, and kept it, went about his business, ended up becoming the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers for a couple of years. Now, of course, he is the vice president of operations, for Major League Baseball. So, I mean, good to see him get his due again at Old Timers Day. Some of the players he was managing were there, guys like Tino Martinez and Bernie Williams and Charlie Hayes, Romero Mendoza, just to name a few, were there for the annual Old Timers Day. The Nationals stay hot. I mean, they take 2 out of 3 from the White Sox, 2-1 yesterday. Danny Espinosa, 2-run home run that put the Nationals ahead for good. Levon Hernandez, after a shaky start, settled down, struck out 9. The Nationals bullpen, with the exception of Friday's blow up, a game where they lost, but the bullpen did pitch well. Bullpen continues to be dominant. John McLaren goes out on a winning note as he was 2-1 as the Nationals interim manager. Tonight, David Johnson returning to the dugout for the first time since 2000. First time since 2000 as a manager. We'll see. David Johnson, again, is one of the most respected managers in baseball, has a championship as a player and a manager. We'll see how he does with Washington. A report came out, and of course, this is, classic ESPN. A report came out when David Johnson was hired, hired to be the manager, and was moved again from the special assistant position to the manager position. The report came out that David Johnson had a contract through 2013 that, 2012, he would be back for 2012 and, with a team option for 2013. That could not be the furthest thing from the truth. Right now is a year-to-year basis. They're going to, Rizzo and David Johnson are going to, talk things over at the end of this season to see whether or not David Johnson wants to manage going into next year, or even whether or not the Nationals want him. Now, I'm sure, I think Johnson will do a pretty good job, so I'm sure it will be up to him whether or not he returns to be the manager for 2012. But he is not under contract through 2012 and with a team option through 2013. Again, ESPN reported that was not the case. As Washington will decide at the end of the season what to do with David Johnson. Milwaukee sweeps Minnesota. Minnesota has lost 5 straight after that hot streak that they had, and certainly have now put themselves in a position where there's no way that they're going to make the playoffs. The only way they would make the playoffs anyway would be to catch Detroit and Cleveland for the division title. That's not going to happen, despite the fact that they are getting back from the disabled list. Justin Morneau, they got Joe Mauer back. Justin Morneau, who knows the timetable when he'll come back. Tomei and Nathan should be coming back soon, but they've dug too big of a hole to expect them to come back from that kind of deficit. 40 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour on this latest edition of Silicon Review. When we return, we'll return to the top of the show, talk about the McCourts and also the Williams sisters' early exit. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Silk Queen Review. 42 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour. Of course, we began with the McCourts, with the McCourts of the LA Dodgers filing for bankruptcy, Chapter 11, in a courtroom, in a Delaware court. Now, the bankruptcy has been approved, but the McCourts are going to be, Frank McCourts will be waiting on $150 million in terms of interim financing. He will need that money. He will certainly need that money to continue on as the owner of the Dodgers. I don't think, I would seriously doubt that that any judge approves $150 million for McCourt, to give to McCourt, considering how he's managed his finances and the finances of the Dodgers in the past. Basically, baseball is kind of just biding his time, waiting to see what the courts do. If they do approve, if they do give him that approval for $150 million, they expect Major League Baseball to terminate his ownership as the owner of the Dodgers, and then from then on it'll be a court battle. But again, I don't expect it to even get that far. I don't think that Major League Baseball and Buzz Selig will even have to play that card. I think that McCourt will be out as the owner of the Los Angeles Dodgers sooner or later, and closer to sooner, rather sooner than later. And again, this is McCourt just trying to buy a little bit more time and see if he could possibly even get more money out of the situation once they relieve him of his duties as owner of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Again, the situation should be cleared up very soon. There's no way McCourt is going to remain owner of the Dodgers for long. I mean, he owes, Manny Ramirez $21 million, owes Andrew Jones $11 million. They owe Vince Scully $175,000. So, he has really screwed the whole Dodger organization up, through just bad business and, taking out money, taking team money and using it for his own personal interests. So we'll see how that turns out. Of course, you have the Williams sisters losing at Wimbledon today, which opens the door up for Maria Sharapova to win her second Wimbledon. We'll see how that turns out. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Silk Queen Review. We will see you next time. We'll see you on the Saturday morning wake-up call. Come this weekend. Have a great evening. So long.